Thank you, Andy. I like that song, although I thought the very first verse might need a little rewriting after the past year. As the deer pants for the water, maybe it should be as the deer pants through his COVID mask. We can relate with that one. So we are on a countdown to Pentecost. Even if you don't notice or know it or think about it, the count is well on its way. If my math is correct, which with me, that's never a guarantee, we're on day 21 of our count to 50. So we're almost at the halfway point from the time of the wave sheaf offering, which would have happened during the Days of Unleavened Bread festival, to the Feast of Pentecost. We'll be halfway there in the middle of this week, this next week. We're going to be hearing several rich messages about the Holy Spirit and about the church as we approach and celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, undoubtedly, because that holy day pictures the day that God gave the Holy Spirit to the New Testament church and that the New Testament church was born. In light of that, I wanted to speak about something about the Holy Spirit on this message. But the topic I came to settle on is one that I really haven't dwelled on much in my life. It's one that I haven't given a lot of consideration about. So if you're in that camp, then maybe this will be beneficial to all of us here. So the Holy Spirit is a topic that we could talk about for countless discussions, Bible studies, and messages. And unlike Mr. Shamblin, I'm not going to ask if you guys get tired of me hearing to raise your hand, because I know there's some in this audience that would take me up on that. But fortunately, my message will be pretty focused, so we won't go too broadly into it. But God does add so much richness into our Christian lives through the Holy Spirit. We are provided spiritual fruits through the Holy Spirit. We are given individual gifts through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is said to seal us, renew us, sanctify us, and teach us. It's said to give us life, power, a love of God, and access to God and His kingdom. It is through the Holy Spirit that we are taught, guided, and we worship. Surely I've covered what I'm going to talk about in that list, right? Nope, wrong. Like I said, we could talk about the subject of the Holy Spirit for days. But today I would like to talk about one specific aspect of God's Holy Spirit that, like I said, I don't really consider much. Today I want to talk about miracles, specifically miracles that have been mentioned in relation to God's Holy Spirit. So the title of my message today is Believe in the Miracles of the Holy Spirit. That is not to take away from the giver of the Holy Spirit, not to indicate that the Holy Spirit is the one doing the miracles, but we're going to look at some miracles that have specifically been done through reference of the Holy Spirit. When preparing for this message, I felt as I was compiling these miracles that we'll go through, that this was an important exercise to my faith. So we'll discuss some tangible miracles that were performed within the New Testament church that were accomplished through the use of God's Holy Spirit. I think it's important for me that I reviewed this topic, and maybe for us here today, that we keep this in mind, that those of us that are baptized members have this Spirit dwelling within us. And brethren, we cannot and we must not lose faith in God's miracles and the power of His miracles through His Holy Spirit. God is still in the business of performing miracles within His people. And it's my hope that as we review this topic today, it will bolster our faith in God's use of miracles through the Holy Spirit. During this message, we will discuss two different categories and which miracles have performed through the use of the Holy Spirit. These categories are far from a complete list, though, but we will focus on tangible miracles that people have witnessed in two different categories. As we look at these miracles, we'll go through different specific miracles within both categories. So the first category of miracles that I've identified in which God has performed various miracles through the use of His Spirit is that God helps people miraculously communicate to others through the Holy Spirit. God helps people miraculously communicate to others through the Holy Spirit. And perhaps the most famous miracle of this category type is in the New Testament church at the first Pentecost. Let's look at that over in Acts 2 and verse 1. We'll read Acts 2 verses 1 through 17 and read this account. Acts 2 and verse 1. Starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to be them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance, And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each other in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this mean?" Others mocked, saying, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. As it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my flesh, my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions." So we see here in this account that the Holy Spirit was given to the church, and they all heard the speeches in their own native tongue. We can see that in verse 6. It doesn't mean, as some people account speaking in tongues, that people were speaking gibberish that nobody understood. And just the opposite. Everyone was hearing each other speak their own native language, be it Greek, Latin, Aramaic, Egyptian, or Hebrew. Hearing each other converse in their own native language obviously helped with clarity, collaboration, oneness, and understanding of the crowd and the message going out. And Peter ascribes this miracle due to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit here in this chapter in verse 17. So that's one way in this category that we're going to look at in communication that the Holy Spirit works. There's another different category, or there's another different type of this over in Mark 13. Another method in which the Holy Spirit helps Christians communicate with others is found over in Mark 13. So let's look at that. We'll start in verse 8. Mark 13 and verse 8. You know, when I first started giving messages here a couple of years ago, I was kind of laughing at this light up here. I was like, oh, look at those guys need that light. But the longer I'm here and give messages, the more I need that light right there. Mark 13 and verse 8. For nation will rise against, and so this is Jesus Christ talking about what conditions will be like in the end times right before his second coming. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate on what you should speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. So we see here another example where the Holy Spirit helps people miraculously communicate. I guess it's time for an upgrade on me. So we can see here that the Holy Spirit helps people communicate in times in the future. This is speaking of a future time when God's people will be brought before rulers and will give an account for our way of faith. A third way in which God's Holy Spirit helps us miraculously communicate with others is through speaking with boldness. Let's look at that over in Acts 4. Acts 4. Acts 4, and we will start in verse 24. Peter and John are addressing the Sanhedrin in this chapter here. The Sanhedrin is an assembly of Jewish elders in Jerusalem. And the Sanhedrin tells Peter and John in verse 18 that they are not allowed to bring up the name of Jesus Christ anymore. So they've banned Peter and John about talking about Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. Upon hearing this, Peter and John's companions prayed for boldness of speech. Let's look at the result of this prayer and start it in verse 24 of Acts 4. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So we see here that this crowd that was around Peter and John, the congregation, they prayed for boldness upon this threat, and God immediately answered the prayer, not just for Peter and John, but for the whole congregation. They all went out and through the Holy Spirit being given there, spoke with boldness. You can see in verse 29 that when they prayed for boldness of speech, that it was granted. God granted their prayer in verse 31. And like I said, he granted it not only to Peter and John, but to the whole assembly. We also see in verse 31 that this was done through the Holy Spirit. After that, the people spoke God's plan of salvation with boldness. through Jesus Christ. Brethren, the Holy Spirit has helped the first century church miraculously converse with each other and be a light to others. It will also be with God's people in the future who will be delivered up to authority figures. It will give those people the words that God wants them to speak. The Holy Spirit has also helped God's people miraculously proclaim the plan of salvation with boldness around Jerusalem here, despite threats of persecution. The Holy Spirit miraculously helps God's people converse with others. So that's the first category in which I've brought out in this message that the Holy Spirit miraculously helps people. The second category that we're going to go into is that the Holy Spirit miraculously helps move people and gives people direction in their life. The Holy Spirit miraculously gives people direction in their life and moves them. And this also has been done through several different tangible miracles, and we'll go into two or three of those miracles here in this category. Let's look at the first way in which God has done this through His Holy Spirit over in Acts 13, over a few pages. Acts 13. And we'll start in verse 1. The first way in which the Holy Spirit gives direction and guidance is literally by giving direction and guidance to people. Let's read Acts 13, verses 1 through 4. We see here a group of godly leaders, as we're about to read this, who fasted and prayed and asked God for direction in something. So let's read Acts 13, verses 1 through 4. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered, and I apologize to them if I ever meet them in the kingdom and I butchered their names. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, that is Barnabas and Saul, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So we see here again a group of godly leaders that was asking for direction, and the Holy Spirit provided that. I looked at a dozen or so translations of the phrase in verse 2, "the Holy Spirit said," because we have an understanding that the Holy Spirit is not a third divinity, a third part of what people believe with the Trinity. We see it as God's power and God's force. And in all 12 different translations, it translates it, "the Holy Spirit said." So for your notes and information, I looked up the word, and it's Strong's Greek 2036, epion, and that's translated as say, speak, tell, command, and bid, all throughout the Bible. So there's nothing unusual going on there. It says "the Holy Spirit said." And I can't speak with complete certainty, but I assume that the interpretation of the scripture here in verse 2 is that this is in part a personification of the Holy Spirit, as I understand it. This is the Holy Spirit gave these men a direct guidance on which way and what manner that they were supposed to, who they were supposed to send out and how. If you think of Romans 8 and verse 22, that is a personification in the New Testament here that says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." So that's a personification of what the creation is doing. We know that the creation isn't literally itself groaning as a person would. If it would, we would be hearing it right now during this message, I can guarantee. But this concept So I believe this concept here of the Holy Spirit saying is a personification, that the Holy Spirit gave these men concrete guidance and direction. That's how I understand it. Mr. Taylor can correct us if I'm wrong. Regardless of whether the Holy Spirit did manifest itself with a vocalized directive, which would be a miracle, or if the Holy Spirit just gave these men concrete action and direction and consensus, it is a miracle, and it is one that we see here in Acts 13. And it definitely gave, the Holy Spirit gave these people godly direction by showing them a certain course of action. I'm sure many of those of us in the church can think of experiences in our lives where we felt moved to do something, and we might have wondered, is that the Holy Spirit within me? Is God trying to tell me something here? I know me and Jennifer have some experiences like that in our lives. So the Holy Spirit does move people in those ways. We have other examples of this phenomenon of the Holy Spirit moving people in a direct manner like this. We don't have to turn there, but you can jot down in your notes, Luke 4 verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness when he fasted for 40 days. That's Luke 4 and verse 1. And in Acts 11 verse 12, the Spirit told Peter to go with uncircumcised men to Caesarea from Joppa. Next, Acts 11 and verse 12. So here again, ever feel like God has put something in your heart to do something? Maybe that is the Holy Spirit talking to you. Another manner in which the Holy Spirit miraculously gives people direction is that God gives people prophetic visions through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has sometimes even brought prophetic insight into people's own lives. And we'll turn and look at an example of that over in Luke 2. Let's look at that in Luke 2 and verse 25. Luke 2, verse 25. And as we're reading this account, I want you guys to think that this is a member that maybe would have been a part of the first century church. This is a person that's not going to be so much different than you or I. I mean, I'm sure we're separated by different cultures, but just listen to how the Holy Spirit worked with Simeon here in Luke 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do according to him the custom of the law, that is circumcision, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We see here, notice in verse 27, that Simeon was guided to the temple by the Holy Spirit, much like Barnabas and Paul were probably guided. Notice also in verse 26 here that the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would see Jesus Christ before he died. So this was Simeon's prophetic vision that he saw through the Holy Spirit. It also gave Simeon a prophecy for the nations, where Simeon prophesied about Christ's role, as we read in 29 through 32. And that is another method in which the Holy Spirit miraculously gives God's people direction and guidance. The Holy Spirit gives prophetic insight on the future of global affairs. We know that the Apostle John was led to prophecy. This is recorded in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 21 and verse 10, we see a connection between some of his prophetic vision and the Holy Spirit. You don't have to turn there, but Revelation 21 and verse 10 says, "And he," that is the angel Gabriel, or that is an angel, "carried me, John, away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy city of Jerusalem, descending out of heaven." So John's vision of the holy city of Jerusalem descending to earth was given him via an angel carrying him away in the spirit. Luke 1 also gives us a connection between the prophecy of future events and the Holy Spirit. This happened to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was getting circumcised and named, we find Zacharias in a state where he couldn't speak. Or maybe I should be saying Zacharias. I don't know. Anyway, he can correct me maybe when I meet him in the kingdom. So we see that he was mute for 9 months because he doubted the angel Gabriel's message that he and his elderly wife would have a child. In Luke 1, verses 19 through 20, the angel answered him and said, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." One of the first things Zacharias gets to talk about when his speech is restored is a prophecy about his son and about his son's role with Jesus Christ. Let's read about that over in Luke 1, verse 63. Luke 1, verse 63, and we'll read through verse 67. "And he asked for a writing tablet, so he wrote," because he couldn't speak at this point, "his name is John. So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in his heart, saying, 'What kind of child will this be?' And the hand of the Lord was with him." Now, his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying. So we see here that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he got this prophecy. Let's go ahead and read it in verse 68. "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in the darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." So we see here that when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he gave a beautiful prophecy to all around him about Jesus Christ and his son, John the Baptist. So the Holy Spirit gives us guidance and direction in our lives miraculously. It does this literally through directing people in the church in miraculous ways at times. It does this by giving God's people prophetic visions even, at sometimes on an individual level and sometimes on a global scale. And we cannot think that this is something that happened in bygone eras that will never happen again. Because as we understand the return of Jesus Christ, we do believe that miracles will happen. So we have to believe as a people that this is possible within our congregation here, within our people. The miracles we've discussed today with the Holy Spirit has been tangible. They've been witnessable miracles. And this isn't even an all-encompassing list. I won't take the time to discuss the moment Stephen saw Jesus Christ and God the Father in the third heaven through the Holy Spirit. That can be found in Acts 7 and verse 55. Or about the time the Holy Spirit physically moved and transported Philip away from an Ethiopian eunuch. That can be found in Acts 8 and verse 39. Brethren, God does perform wondrous miracles through His Holy Spirit. We have that Spirit within us in the church today. We have that Holy Spirit dwelling within the baptized membership. But what's our takeaway from this? We probably knew many of these miracles before we got into this message. The takeaway is this. Do you want to communicate more effectively within the church and be a better light to others outside the church in a bold manner? Well, believe that you can do so effectively through the Holy Spirit. And don't just believe that the Holy Spirit can help you become more effective in ways that you are currently communicating. Believe that God can work miracles in your lives in these arenas within you. Don't limit God and don't limit His Holy Spirit. The Church of the Book of Acts communicated through a miracle on the first New Testament Passover. And in large respects, they were not much different than we are in the church today. The church at Jerusalem spoke boldly around the threats of the Sanhedrin through a miracle of the Holy Spirit. And in large respects, they weren't much different than we are today. We have our own issues in society that we need to speak boldly about and not be worried. Believe that God can give you a miracle. Don't limit Him. In the future, He will give people prophetic visions. Who knows when that's going to start? Who knows at what time we're going to start seeing that within the church? We must believe that God can do this for His people now. We must have faith in God's ability to give His servants prophetic visions through His Spirit. Maybe one day it will happen for one of the young in the church here if they get old. Probably won't happen for Mr. Shamblin. He said he was 1 foot in the grave. No. So maybe you can, maybe he'll ascend before you, but maybe you can have a vision or something. Just kidding. So brethren, we cannot and must not limit God and what He can do through us. God does work tangible miracles through His Holy Spirit. He has a record of doing that in this New Testament church. Believe that God can work tangible and witnessable miracles through the Holy Spirit in your life. May we all have a blessed Sabbath and a blessed countdown leading up to the Feast of Pentecost.